This is Sportsnet Today with Logan Gordon and Julian McKenzie on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
When you're in close games, you have to count on your guys to do things the right way at the right time to end up with the 2 points instead of losing games by one goal. So, you know, that's one thing that we have to make sure we're focused on and we have to do a better job with, and that includes tonight.
Won't take much for the Calgary Flames to do better Thursday night in Winnipeg than they did Tuesday night at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome. The one major change, the quality of opponent, however, as the Flames get set to take on third in the Central Division, the Winnipeg Jets. Welcome to Sportsnet Today. Happy Thursday. Logan Gordon and the one and only Julian McKenzie alongside me this afternoon. What up, J-Mac?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. Good to see you, buddy.
Enjoying fifth winter here in Calgary?
Fifth winter. You know what? Like
Finter, I believe it's called.
I've learned from the little bit of time I've been here to be patient about wanting to set appointments to take my tires off my my vehicle. It's a May thing. It's definitely not an April thing.
It's going to be a little bit, but it still feels like hockey season, and we got a big one tonight for the Calgary Flames, Julian. They are finishing out the stretch. Nice little one-game trip to Manitoba. Why not?
Yeah, why not? There's a lot of great things to do in Winnipeg, right?
Yeah, if you can find the airport, and you'll be fine.
I mean, find the airport. I mean, if you're able to even get into the city.
Exactly.
Thankfully, the Flames didn't have to walk their way there.
Exactly. They'll be in good shape. We'll hear from a couple members of the Calgary Flames on a game day, including head coach Ryan Huska coming up. It's a 6 o'clock puck drop with Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson. Pat Steinberg's got your Flames warm-up at 5 o'clock tonight. Flames and the Winnipeg Jets will also get a look at Winnipeg's season. They were busy at the trade deadline. Some former Flames being used as reinforcements in Winnipeg. Tyler Toffoli, Sean Monahan having big impacts. So our pal Ken Weave from Sportsnet and the Winnipeg Free Press is going to join us in the second hour to get to a look at the opposition. Of course, Julian Thursdays, meeting to chat with our pal Adnan Virk.
Looking forward to that.
And because we've got Blue Jays baseball on your radios Friday, we'll move the Friday DMs to Thursday once again and let the listeners take over the show for a little bit. So we got a busy program for you. We're in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. Wet basement, they have a lasting solution to keep your basement dry. If you experience any water in your basement, contact Basement Systems. They're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. Shoot your text at 960-960. The fan feedback line is open to you on this Thursday. We'd love to chat anything sports-related that you want to talk about on this Flames game day. And that's where we're kicking things off, Julian. Flames and the Winnipeg Jets. And while the season hasn't gone the way for the Calgary Flames that many would have hoped, they can actually pull off something they haven't done in a very long time tonight in Winnipeg. They can sweep the season series with the Jets with a win. That would be the first time they've done that since 2011-2012. Flames picked up a 5-3 win and a 6-3 win over Winnipeg in their previous two outings and are 5-2 versus Winnipeg in their last seven. So, again, kind of goes back to that conversation we've been having about playing up to opponents or down to opponents. Flames have surprisingly had some good success against this Winnipeg team.
Yeah, and for the sake of this Flames team wanting to get the their previous loss out of their head, their Anaheim loss, you were there. Those guys looked really annoyed and really wanted to distance themselves from that game. I expect to see a Flames team with a ton of motivation going into this Jets game. I mean, if they're not going to be a playoff team, why not play the role of spoiler, right? So that's how I see it for this Flames team.
Yeah, it's, you know what? It's not a bad mindset for the group to take, and I wonder how much of that's going to play into, you know, games like tonight, games like Saturday against the Edmonton Oilers, especially. Yep. You've got some playoff teams down the stretch with lots to play for. If you're the Calgary Flames, maybe you can use some motivation to take 2 points off of other teams down the stretch. And for the Flames, we can tell you that Dustin Wolf gets the start in goal for the Calgary Flames tonight after two straight starts from Jacob Markstrom. Connor Hellebuck, your confirmed starter for Winnipeg. Don't think anyone's surprised, Julian, after two from Markstrom. We thought we'd see pretty close to a split, and since Markstrom has been healthy, they have been pretty close to split games.
Yeah, Dustin Wolf has to. This is we've spoken ad nauseum about how important this stretch is for Dustin Wolf and how he needs the playing time just to for the organization to see what they have in him. No surprises that he gets the start against Winnipeg. Looking to see if he can get himself back in the win column again. If those guys are playing motivated in front of him, that should definitely help. I wonder from going forward now, where you have Edmonton and then you got a couple games on the road next week, where else Dustin Wolf gets the split and starts. Do you do a double-double where you get Wolf today and then you put him on Saturday against the Oilers? Or do you just do Wolf and then Markstrom again? I mean, at this point, you probably are better off seeing more what you have in Dustin Wolf. I think it would be really cool if you gave him the opportunity tonight and on Saturday against the Oilers.
We'll see what happens as far as that. As far as any of the lineup news and notes, it was an optional morning skate in Winnipeg on Thursday, so you'll have to wait until Flames warm up with Steinberg at around 5:30 on Thursday night if you're tuned in here on Sportsnet 960 to get exact details on what might change. And Julian, I don't think either one of us would be surprised knowing A, that they've got extra bodies, and B, coming off of one of their more lackluster performances of the season. If Ryan Huska and the coaching staff maybe didn't, you know, change things up, and we know Joel Hanley's not going to be on the trip. We're still unsure about Andrew Mangiapane. So I don't know about you, but I certainly feel like it might be an interesting night in Winnipeg to see some new faces in the lineup.
Do you hear that sound in the distance?
So it's a lawnmower, right? You're firing up your lawnmower?
That was more of a blender.
Oh, it's your Vitamix, your blender.
Yeah, yeah. You're adding the different ingredients. You just kind of put that sucker in and then... Look, I get it. The Flames, if they lose tonight, they're officially eliminated. But we know the chances of them making the playoffs are very slim. So what's the point? You might as well see what you have with the guys you have and mix things up. Also, just again, that Anaheim game, they really need to distance themselves from that game.
Okay, so we know Hanley's not on the trip, and he's been in with Rasmus Anderson. Who do you put in if you're Ryan Huska today? Defenseman goes in? You got Gilbert and Ochocek.
Yeah, I feel like Ochocek is probably going to get back in. Dennis Gilbert just has not had a ton of time since pretty much the 2024 calendar has turned its page. And it's a bit of a, it kind of sucks for him, right? This is a guy who really wanted to kind of improve on what he was trying to build on last year, and then now it's just been a tougher time getting him into the lineup. It would be cool to see Dennis Gilbert get back in. I wouldn't be surprised if Nikita Okoychuk gets back into it.
You throw Walker Dewar back in?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, that fourth line, we know about how they've been kind of up and down all year and they haven't really given that much. I mean, why not? Maybe this is the opportunity where Ryan Huska provides that Frankenstein monster and just kind of throws people in and out, but it doesn't really hurt. I don't know. It's just kind of weird. Like, it's not as if the Flames have anything real to play for. So why not put in some of those other guys to give yourself a different look? You can't have that same lineup that, again, put off that stinker against Anaheim. You might as well do different things and put Walker Dewar back in. Still really mystified at how this year has gone for Walker and the fact that he is not providing that same level of play we saw him in the second half of last year where he was able to get goals. He showed off that straight line speed. I don't know if it's because of the fact that he's been in and out of the lineup, but at the same time, it sort of was to be expected. I get that the franchise may have thought that he could be an everyday player, but I kind of thought the very least when he was going to get plugged into the lineup, he would provide some kind of spark this year, but just it hasn't really happened consistently with him.
No, and the weird thing is he's played considerably more this year than last year already. Like he's played 36 games in the NHL level this year. He was only played in 27 last year.
Yeah, but again, they put him in and out of the lineup, but how much of that has to do with just what he hasn't shown on the ice? It's just still a bit mystified at the fact that he hasn't really provided that spark and that improvement that I expected.
Well,
and
think about how many of those conversations we've had about the bottom six period, Julian.
Yeah.
From where things started, you know, and look, a lot of them are for different reasons, but some of the guys that you maybe would have penciled in for bigger opportunities or guys that you thought were likely to be on the roster in a bottom six role maybe for the entirety of the season. You know, Walker Dewar was on that list.
Absolutely.
Dylan Dubé was on that list.
Yeah.
Adam Ruzicko was a guy that was going to get a bigger opportunity. And like I said, all for different reasons. But, man, that's been a massive change for this group, and one that, I don't know, it got better the last couple of weeks. I think A.J. Greer, when he's been in, has kind of been the most effective part of that fourth line. But it's still, you're right. I mean, if Walker Dewar wasn't to be put in Thursday against the Jets, I don't know that I would make much of a fuss on it based on what we've seen from him this season. And that's too bad because, like you said, there was a lot of good from this kid last year.
7 goals last year. And only 2 this year.
And when he wasn't scoring, he was impactful.
Yeah, just the straight line speed, just the consistency from that type of player. He looked like a guy who belonged in the Flames lineup last year. This year, it's a bit more difficult to justify that. And yeah, just, I mean, we're a little bit ways away from off-season talk, but one of the things I expect is for this organization to look really hard at what this fourth line should look like and see if they can get in guys who are able to provide that spark for next season, whether it's hoping that Jakob Pelte has a good enough training camp to kind of put him in the mix. A.J. Greer should probably, if it were up to me, I'd keep him.
Yep.
I think he'd be good on that fourth line, but I don't know. We'll have to see about what the personnel will look like.
Let's check in with head coach Ryan Huska on a game day. The team in Winnipeg getting set for a matchup with the Jets. They have a chance to sweep away the 3-game season series against Winnipeg for the Jets. They're focusing on the postseason coming up in just a couple weeks. But let's hear how head coach Ryan Huska feels ahead of this one in Winnipeg on a game day.
Huska, I know you talked a little bit about the other night, but can you talk about the play of the Pospisil's line right now with Kadri and Kuzmenko and what they're doing for you guys that's helping this team find a way?
They've brought a lot of energy to the way they've played the game, and I think the area that they've had most success has been in the offensive zone, so that's one thing that's probably fairly evident. Posp keeps playing the same way he's played for us all year, where he's a driver on that line. Naz has been Naz. He's competitive, and I think with Kuzi right now, he's feeling more and more comfortable and confident in his ability to make plays with the puck. So, as I mentioned, offensively, they've been the one line for us that's been fairly consistent in generating.
What kind of challenges does Winnipeg present? You've beaten them twice already, but
yeah, a lot. They're one of the elite teams in the league. Power play is very good. That's one thing we always have to make sure we're aware of when we play against them. And then we have to make sure we're really good with the puck. That's another thing where we don't want to give them too many opportunities off the rush. They're going to get some because they have some really good players that have a lot of skill. But the part that I like about this game more so than anything is we have to stick with our game against a team that's very consistent in how they play their game. So we want to make sure that we're matching that standard here tonight.
What parts of your identity, Ryan, gave the Jets the most difficulty in those two meetings?
The first one I would throw out. I mean, that's the game at the beginning of the year where I thought they were much better and probably deserved a better fate in that game. The last one, once we got through the first period, we gave up the power play goals were an issue for us, but then I thought we settled into our game and we did a good job of managing the puck, managing their rush, and that's one of the big things for us. If we give them a lot of room, they have too many guys on that side that can make you pay, so we want to make sure we're detailed and diligent with that part of our game.
Your team needs a win tonight to stay alive mathematically. Have you as a coaching staff made your players aware of that, or is it something that it doesn't even enter the equation?
We don't talk about it. Players are more aware of things than we are half the times, I find. We've been aware that we're in a real uphill battle for a fairly significant period of time. So for us, it has been all year about the way we have to play and the way we have to prepare for our games, and making sure that we play to the style that we're comfortable with. And we weren't that way our last game against Anaheim, so we want to have a better night tonight.
I'm sure at the outset of the season, Ryan, you didn't want to get into a scenario where you were learning experiences like this, you know, where you're on the playoff periphery, but what kind of things are you learning that you can incorporate to, you know, be more prepared and be more ready for it next year?
Well, there's a lot of things, but for us and our staff and our players, we're not there yet for that type of debrief, I would say. But the one area that has kind of hurt our team and been good for our teams at times this year is the consistency. Both we've been able to string some wins together, but we've also haven't been able to stop the bleeding at certain times. So that's from game to game. It's from shift to shift. And that's something that when you're in close games, you have to count on your guys to do things the right way at the right time to end up with the 2 points instead of losing games by one goal. So, you know, that's one thing that we have to make sure we're focused on and we have to do a better job with, and that includes tonight.
Ryan, Sharon Govich has 29 goals. What kind of growth have you seen from him?
A lot. I mean, when we knew he was a skilled guy when we brought him over, we also knew he was a guy that was responsible in his own zone. I don't think we envisioned the pushing 30 goals from him, but we knew he was a good player that when he was given an opportunity to play more of a role that we were hopeful that he would develop into what he is right now. So he's done a lot of good things for us, and he's worked for it, which is one thing that we really like about it, where early on in the year he was centering our fourth line, and he's bounced around a little bit, but he stuck with it, and I think his game has grown a lot. He's a harder guy to play against. We've asked him to play in the middle of the ice, yet he's still finding a way to generate, so hopefully he can get that number.
That goal production, do you think he can replicate that?
I do. I mean, he has the wrist shot that goal scorers have. He gets it away very quickly, and he's a young guy. And when you put him in situations where he's going to have an opportunity to shoot, like the power play or with some offensive players, I think he will.
Brian, what did you appreciate most about Sean Monahan's game being around him for those years?
Sean is a true pro. That's maybe even not really so much about his game, but the way he handled himself. And I think Sean, for his time around us and me, made people around him better because of the way he approached his day-to-day work. And I think the one cool thing to see when you watch him play, I hate it, and I hope he doesn't do it tonight, but he's turned himself into a really good defensive centerman, not just one that can score, but he wins a lot of face-offs as well. So I don't want to see him score tonight, and I don't want to see him win face-offs.
What about the perseverance and what he's had to endure on the adversity side with all the injuries?
You know, and I feel that's been something when he was in Calgary at the end of his time there, there was a lot of injuries that were creeping into his game, his body. And you give a player like that a lot of credit, and I think that's why he's looked upon as a real good pro.
Shorter tenure, but similar impact on Tyler Toffoli's part for your group?
Sure. I mean, Tyler's won, and you can see in his demeanor a lot of different times how he approaches games. He knows how to win and what you have to do in order to help your team do that.
There you go. That's head coach Ryan Huska checking in on a game day in Winnipeg. They're at the end on the former Flames, now making big impacts with the Winnipeg Jets. We'll ask Ken Weave about that and I'll look at the opposition coming up a little bit later on. But, you know, I thought the interesting part really there, Julian, off the top was talking about Kadri, Pospisil, and Kuzmenko as really the one line giving them consistent offensive impact right now. And it's hard to disagree with that. I mean, I know you kind of take the last couple games out of it, but we've talked about this team struggling to score goals on a really consistent basis for the last little while. And I wonder how much of the storyline that'll be throughout these last eight games or so, because he's right. I can't argue with the fact that that line has been the only one really making a considerable offensive impact consistently for this group.
Yeah. On the flip side of it, it's good to see that Andrei Kuzmenko is feeling a little bit more comfortable.
Yes.
The fact that he's been able to score goals, the fact that he's been able to show off his offensive instincts and do very well between the hash marks, like that, I take that as a positive sign more than anything. I know he mentioned to us yesterday that he feels he's been having a bit of a terrible season, but I think these last few games, seeing him kind of thrive in that offensive role while still trying to figure out what to do to play more of an all-around team game, that's at least a silver lining that this team can take. But yes, the fact that the rest of the Flames offense has not been good, it's a bit disappointing to see. I mean, even the power play was a little bit better, but just you want a little bit more from your players up and down the lineup.
Mentioned, you know, this Winnipeg team is still an elite team. They're obviously fighting for playoff positioning in the Central and in the West, and, you know, picked up two wins against them, one of them at the very beginning of the season, one a little bit later on, and they'll try to complete that three-game series sweep against the Jets later tonight. And interesting to hear, too, I thought, you know, he was asked about, do you address the playoff situation? Like, do you go to the group and say, hey, I know we're not in it, but let's talk about it, let's discuss it, and I thought it was interesting to hear him say no players understand where they are in the
They are. The they're not stupid.
Yeah.
They look at the standings. They know what's going on. They're not stupid. And I don't think, I mean, if I was a player in that locker room and I already know the season is as disappointing and as tough as it's been with all of, with a good chunk of my friends being traded away, the last thing I need is my head coach coming in being like, hey guys, we have 0.1% chance at making the playoffs and seeing him bang on the table. It's done. We get it. We understand what's going on here. They know it's an uphill climb, and they know they have to build a foundation for the future to take the example and go forth with that. Like, I don't think they need that reminder about the playoff implications here. They don't need it.
No, and I think what he said was perfectly acceptable in my mind of players know. That's all it is. Play, like, you don't need to beat a dead horse, like, right? Like, no one here is... even the players, as we've talked to them after games and at practices, they've talked about that standard for next year. You don't start talking about those sort of things if you're still looking ahead to trying to pick up a playoff spot. You don't talk about those sort of things.
I'm sure they've pushed through all of that after that post-trade deadline weekend when they lost those games to Florida and Carolina. Like, I'm sure once that started to set in and they weren't able to make up a lot of ground, I think the mood and that the mood of the team kind of shifted after that, and I think that's when it slowly started to seep in that they weren't going to make it. At this point, they're over it.
Yeah, I don't think Ryan has.
And
to...
I say over it loosely. It's like they get it. They know they're in the position.
Oh yeah,
they're
in.
They obviously would want to be in the playoffs, but like you can only do so much.
Yeah, I agree with that wholeheartedly. We talked about Walker Dewar a little bit earlier, and you know maybe we see him in the lineup Thursday. Not really sure. With an optional morning skate in Winnipeg. This text came in at 960-960. It's on the fan feedback line where you can always reach us. This text came in, Julian. Said, Daryl didn't like Rooney and loved Walker. Huska's giving Rooney a chance, and Walker looks more or less mediocre under Huska. Different players show differently under different coaches. Before he was sent to the minors last year, I thought Rooney looked great. Daryl didn't see it, obviously. As a coach, confidence in a player is everything.
It is absolutely everything. I don't disagree with that statement from the texter.
And I it's interesting because I would have thought that Walker Dewar would have been one of those, I don't want to say coach-proof in a way, but the way he played last year, it felt like any coach was going to love that, right? Like, why wouldn't Ryan Huska or Daryl Sutter or Coach XYZ you know, love this guy, but he just hasn't been the same player.
Just, I don't know if it's just teams have figured out the straight line speed thing that he has, or if Walker just has to add another element or dimension to his game, but just not the same player.
We'll see if he gets in the lineup on Thursday. Any other potential lineup changes? We know we'll see at least one change on the back end, as Joel Hanley did not make the trip to Winnipeg. He left the loss to Anaheim in period number one and did not return. He was deemed day-to-day by head coach Ryan Huska on Wednesday. So we'll see one change on the back end. We'll see what happens with the forward group as well. And we do know that Dustin Wolf gets to start in goal versus Connor Hellebuck. We will take our first break on the program, Julian. When we come back, we'll open the text line wide open for our listeners to join in on the Thursday DMs. You want to talk Flames? You want to talk off-season draft prospects? You want to talk football? You want to talk baseball? Baseball's underway. We'll open it up to you, the listener, at 960-960. The Thursday DMs are coming up next with Logan and Julian. You're on another edition of Sportsnet Today, Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Yes, Logan and J-Mac along with you on this Thursday game day for the Calgary Flames. Eight more to go, Julian.
Only eight more?
Only eight more.
But only three more home games.
Yes, Saturday and then Sunday, the 14th?
Yes, the 14th, and then the 18th, which is Fan Appreciation Night against the Sharks.
Finishing off against the Sharks 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
Remember, they were the ones Wolf and Coronado's first game.
Yes, their first NHL games, yes.
Lots to play for in San Jose.
Mm.
They signed that college kid, though.
Colin Graf. Saw that. There were a couple different teams that were in on Colin Graf. Minnesota. I'm trying to think of some other teams off the top of my head.
It might have been CJ, your buddy, that said 20 teams or so interested, or at least made offers to.
I'm sure CJ was on top of that. He's on top of just about everything.
He's a pretty impressive young man. We'll see what he does with that opportunity in San Jose. But yes, 8 left for the Calgary Flames, including Thursday night in Winnipeg. 6 o'clock puck drop with Derek and Megan. 5 o'clock warm-up with Pat Steinberg ahead of a Battle of Alberta on Saturday night at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Julian, we're going to have Blue Jays baseball on the radios on Friday afternoon.
Nice.
So we're going to move the Thursday DMs to today, our opportunity to let the text line take control of the show, really. Whatever they want to talk about, we answer as it's time for another edition of the Thursday DMs.
Who still uses that old mailbox? Time to bring it into the 21st century. Your burning questions answered on the Thursday DMs.
Thursdays, yeah.
Yeah, Thursdays, yeah. They're not Fridays, but...
Second week in a row, we have Thursday DMs.
960-960, your questions on anything and everything. Flames hockey, Flames offseason... Movie questions. Do you want to know why Shan's skipping work for the second straight day?
We're just going to ream him for that?
Do you want to ask us about our boss?
Oh.
Anything that you want, really.
Oh.
Takes on music we're willing to from go, Julian.
We're willing to go there with our... I mean, I'm part-time here. I can technically call him my boss, I guess.
Kind of. Yeah. Do you want to know Julian's credit score? Whatever
no.
you want to know.
No, that's too far.
960.
It's too far.
960.
No, absolutely not. You will not know my credit score.
If you want me to tell you what Cam's license plate number is, I can do that.
Maybe not.
I thought this was supposed to be a segment where, you know, we ask fun questions, not reveal each other's personal information.
It could be fun. Giving someone your credit score could be fun.
I don't
fun,
know.
Julian.
You're moving like a scammer right
you
now.
You have to.
Logo, you're moving like a scammer. Is that what you do with your friends? You just ask them, hey, man, provide me your credit card number.
You need to... You need to broaden your horizons.
Hey, man, what's your address? Hey, man, where's your birth certificate?
Where's your girl live?
Where's your social security number at, brother? Yeah.
What's your sister's dating status? Anything that you want to know.
Those very specific questions. Something I don't know how you guys put
up
with
Logo.
I'm just
letting it open.
I don't know, man.
I want the people to be open.
I'm glad that
free.
The text line shows more decorum than you do.
That's not hard, though.
Jeez.
That's not hard.
It's just kind of crazy. Anyway.
All right. The Thursday DMs are open to you. 960-960. You can ask any of my silly questions. I probably won't answer most of those, but anything that you want. It doesn't have to be Flames related. It doesn't have to be hockey related. This isn't a Flames mailbag. This is an open forum. 960-960. Master producer Cameron.
Yes, sir.
Do you have the DMs?
I have the DMs in front of me.
Will you start to read the DMs to us?
Of course. This one's from Lonnie in Dover. Do the Flames go after Brandon Montour in free agency?
Brandon Montour.
Right shot D. I mean, the 70, he had a 73 point season the year the Panthers went to the final. Mm-hmm. Also, 29 years old. Also, I just learned this about Brandon Montour. Mm-hmm. Brandon Montour and I have the same birthday. So we'll both be 30 in a week.
Really?
Yes.
Nice.
April 11th, 1994.
So do you want a 30-year-old Brandon Montour as your second, what, of your top four defense?
I don't hate it.
I guess it depends on how much you're paying for him. And I think if you're doing that, I mean, obviously we know this is going to be a retool. You're hoping that in what, year two or year three of that deal, this team is a much better playoff contender to justify signing him. Obviously, maybe a bit of a rapport with, maybe not that long, but a bit of a rapport with Mackenzie Weegar. They were teammates for
sure.
At least Huberto, two seasons, yeah. And Huberto as well. I don't hate it. It's just I need to see what the price tag is.
My only worry would be at 29/30 and as a guy that's probably feeling like he's underpaid.
Coming off a down year, though.
I still think that's a guy at a right shot D that's going to want a long-term contract.
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking 7 years.
Because he's not going to get another long-term contract after. Like, say if you were, ideally, say you sign in Calgary, what, 2 or 3 seasons as a 30-year-old? You're not getting a 7 or 8 year contract at 33 or 34 if you're Brandon Montour.
This is your opportunity to make the bank.
Yeah, so I don't hate the player by any means. I think I think there could be a similar skill set that, you know, maybe Craig Conroy looks to add to his D that's pretty young. I just don't know that it fit for a guy like, if I'm Brandon Montour and his agent, I want as many years as I can get. And I don't know if that fits the Flames right now.
Yeah. Again, just that asking price too. I don't have the AAV in front of me, but guys who's 30, how much money are you willing to give for a player like that who's coming off again? He's not having the career season he had the year before, so it is a down year, but still a quality right shot defenseman. I would say no, but
you never know.
I wouldn't hate it.
Cameron?
This is from either Eben or Even in Calgary. Best poutine in Calgary.
Now, you've said it wrong for Julian, and he's going
to... Putin.
That's not that great either. fun fact, I'm not a massive fan of Putin. I think...
Now, you had to eat a weird one last year, right?
Yeah, the hot dog Putin. I went to a Putin place that no longer exists. It was used to be like around the way from where I live. It was like this Montreal Putin place, and I had to order a poutine and a hot dog and fuse them together. It was awful. I don't know why Toronto Blue Jays fans were so big into that. It was gross. Like, I don't even want to think about it. I guess poutine hama, I mean, it doesn't exist anymore. It's turned into like a shawarma place, I think. It was pretty good. It was pretty good. It was a Montreal guy who was like born and raised in Montreal, like had a poutine place, and just, I don't know what happened. That's the best poutine I've had here. But like, I'd rather just go home for that.
You know what? I'm not real picky about poutine. I, honestly, if you wanted to tell me to go get a good one, like a New York fry
sure
level poutine is fine with me. I can't. If you're one of those guys who wants to go to like a poutine specific
yeah
restaurant and try some different things, I won't hold it against you. But I'm good enough with just give me a good fry out of New York fry with a good gravy and some cheese curd, and I'm good to go. I think you can. There's not a lot of New York fry places around anymore, but if you're in the mall or something like that, it's a go-to for me.
I actually haven't had New York fries. I would like to try it.
Just try it. I think it's a good combination. Yeah. It's not crazy fancy by any means, but it's good for what you're getting. It's good value, I think.
Also for poutine, I would much rather have like, I like having like meat on top of mine, which I guess is like a bit of a different thing, but like I've had like pulled pork with it. One summer I had like a seafood one where they had like,
ooh,
lobster and like crab.
Ooh.
That was pretty good. It was pretty fancy. But I very rarely will I indulge in the traditional form. I very much like a little bit of variety on top, which I don't know. I think that does it for me
the
as a person.
Spice of life with Julian.
This one's from Wedley in Bridalwood, who needs a wingman for this stampede.
Oh boy.
Wants to know who is the best wingman out of Cam, Shan, Logan, or Julian?
It's not Shan.
No, it's not Shan.
No, not Shan.
Cam's a pretty smooth. Cam could be pretty smooth.
I think the nice thing about Cam is Cam's in a committed relationship, so you know he's not going to.
I don't have ulterior motives.
I'm also kind of humble here. I think I'd be pretty good at it.
I do think Julian is going to be my answer.
I would just be chill with it, right? Like, yeah, I'll pick me.
I haven't been in the situation, but I feel like just knowing you, that I've gotten to know you since you've come to Calgary, I feel like you would, I feel as though you have the skill set needed to properly hype up as a wingman.
I think especially
your
in
cute face could get in the way though.
Especially,
I'm a little worried about.
Especially at Stampede, I think I'd stand out. So I think I like my chances.
Wedley, we'll get you in contact with Julian.
This one doesn't have a name on it, but I like it regardless. Why do you guys think the Flames didn't pull their goalie being down 2 goals against the Ducks? I'm a longtime hockey fan, and I quite enjoy the last few minutes of a game when you pull your goalie and have a chance to tie it. So from a fan standpoint, it makes no sense, and it seems to me to be sending the wrong message that the team isn't trying to win.
I forgot what didn't Ryan Huska address this?
Wednesday.
He did talk about this,
and I
on
think
Wednesday.
He's right. We should have asked it on Tuesday night, and we didn't. But honestly, I was fine with his explanation. Did you watch the team in the third period?
Did you get any sense that they were going to push back?
They had, what, three or four shots in the third period by that point?
Yeah.
I just...
It's like, get out of here.
Yeah. I don't think it had anything to do with not winning. I think it had everything to do with... You have to have the feel for your group, right? You have to understand they had very minimal offensive possession. I don't remember any point in that third period, Julian, where they held the puck in the Ducks zone for an extended period of time.
They were out of it. I don't think you ever want to question an athlete's will or desire in these games, but I definitely think there was some, I think collectively they checked out. I think there was some of that in that game. Is that fair to say? I think so. Yeah. And I mean, I could say after the game, they were not happy that it got to that point, you know?
Yeah. And so I get from a fan's perspective why you'd be disappointed that you didn't see that. I think you have to look at it from the coaching perspective and saying, look, we got to show a stand, like show me in the first 58 minutes of the game that you're going to do something in the final 2 minutes without Markstrom in the net that makes me think we're going to get back. And if it was one goal, I might have had a bigger response to it, Julian, but they weren't getting two. They weren't getting two.
I don't, even if they pulled the goalie, I didn't like their chances at that. Also, are you really mad about it? Like, I mean, clearly this texter seems like they feel a way about it, but if this team... If there are fans who want this team to get a higher draft position in the grand scheme of things, is having your team go out and get two goals, get a point, is that worth it?
If you're purely team tank,
you like that. That's a perfect result. It's like, oh, they're not gonna pull the goalie? We're gonna be down two, we're gonna lose this game? Yes.
Losing to Anaheim's one of the ones that you wouldn't have had on the bingo card for team tank, and it's a surprising result.
Yeah.
So
right now, if you go on Tankathon, this team's sitting pretty in eighth for the eighth overall pick. If you subscribe to that theory.
All right, this one's from Jim. What would you rather have right now, Nazem Kadri or Sean Monahan and a first round pick?
I mean, it's an unfair world we live in.
Yeah, this is hindsight, right? But also, like, Nazem Kadri's been a good player. But also, Sean Monahan is not the damaged goods that the Flames probably thought he was when they traded him. And
they thought he was. He was.
He was.
He was a damaged goods. Yes. This has been the perfect scenario for the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
In how this worked out. Because there was a very good chance that Sean never got back to the player he was in Calgary and was never able to bite the injury bug in the rear and tell it to piss off in his time there. It literally worked out perfectly for Montreal. Even in his first season in Montreal, June, he got hurt and didn't finish the season. So, I think the easy answer is you'd rather have Sean Monahan right now. But you can't make that, you can't say that without the context of the guy had two hip surgeries and wrist surgery, and I think an abdominal thing, and just wasn't even, like, was having trouble walking when he was in Calgary as his tenure finished. He was literally that hurt, and I don't think anyone at the time, even a guy with a Sean Monahan jersey in his closet, thought it was going to turn around for Sean at that point. So, yeah, I think if I had the choice, I'd take the first in Monahan.
But
at the time, they were trying to win, and they thought their window was open. And Sean was like a fourth-line injured player in Calgary. It's been great to see, but I don't know if I can... It's hard to say that without mentioning the past.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Like, I can understand why that's the easy answer, but I'll say this. At least through the first two seasons, Nazem Kadri has been a Flame. He's played well. I think he's played up to his contract. He's played, I think, at the level that people expected. He's having a better season this year than last year. And I know he had the tough start this year, but his stats are better than they were last year. And he was an all-star last year. You could probably say he should have been an all-star this year. But, I mean, we're not talking about a situation where the player they signed is god-awful. You know? You got to remember, he also played a role in helping some of those kids find their footing, like a Connor Zary and a Martin Pospisil.
These are the Thursday DMs. Logan and Julian along with you answering any of your questions at 960-960. If you're listening live, shoot us a text. And we'll try to get as many of these as we can before we have to take a break. Cam, what's next?
This next one's from our fellow Shoops. What would each of you consider to be your nerdiest hobby? I recently got into Magic the Gathering and I'm currently listening to 960, going through my new cards.
Ooh.
Nerdiest hobby?
I probably have two.
Okay, I'd like to hear yours.
I'm still an MCU movie nerd. I'm an opening night guy, and I have been going back to the OG Iron Man, and I'm still, despite the pains of the last couple of years, I'm still thoroughly entrenched in that universe and sticking to every movie and show that comes out. And I'm still a Pokemon guy.
Really?
I grew up with the OGs of Pokemon, and I have a Nintendo Switch that I should play more games on because there are other great games, but I almost use my Switch entirely just to play Mon.
Like, wait, do you call it Mon? That's what y'all call it?
Sometimes.
What? Pokemon. I've never heard.
That's what the cool kids are calling.
Nah,
it, Julian.
Just say the full
Mon.
Thing. Nobody in the history of Pokemon has ever referred to it as Mon.
Yes.
Yo, man, me and the bros are gonna go over and play Mon. No one has ever said that in the history of Pokemon-dom.
It's been said.
My nerdy thing is to listen to music and identify samples, and then put the sample track in a playlist, and just upkeep that playlist. I love listening to songs and hearing the origins of where different elements of parts of songs come from. Like, I was listening to a Missy Elliott song today, and there's like a random song from the 70s that got sampled and chopped up, and then it turned into One Minute Man by Missy Elliott and Ludacris. Like, I had no idea there was a sample in that song at all, and that has been powering me through today. That would be my nerdiest thing. I'm starting to collect shoes. I don't know if that's really nerdy or if that's just more cool, but that's
what kind of shoes. If you're collecting Skechers, it might not be as cool.
Yeah.
All due respect to some Skechers who are comfy as hell, but
you
depends on what you're collecting.
You're firmly in your dad era if you're collecting Skechers. I'm collecting a lot of like Nike Air Maxes now. Nike Air Max ones or
that's pretty cool.
90s are good. I literally just copped a pair of the Nike Air Max 90 infrareds, but with the Gore-Tex, like
nice.
The material that kind of, you know, I mean, keeps it waterproof, but like good to wear it out in the elements, you know. Like, yeah, I'm getting into that mode.
Let's try to run through some as quick as we can here, Cam.
All right, no name on it. Excuse me. World ends tomorrow. Jeez. What is your last meal?
Oh,
surf and turf, man. A steak and a lobster tail with some
potatoes. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's a good meal, fam.
That's probably how I have to go out.
Damn. I mean, that's pretty good. I was going to say steak frites, so like just a nice medium well steak.
Can't go wrong with that either.
Get some fries. That's pretty good for me.
This one's from Corey. Is missing the playoffs next year going to be considered a fail for Coach Ryan Huska?
No.
It shouldn't be. But that might also depend on what the team. I think we need to figure out what the team expectation is for next year, because there is reason for the Flames to fail and get themselves in the top 10 position just to kind of cushion the blow of the fact that they could lose a first round pick. And depending on who they sell off, maybe they're able to get that other pick to kind of offset that blow even more. But like, if this team sees itself as a playoff team next year, if they make moves in the offseason that suggest that they should be a playoff team next year and they miss, then yeah, that looks like a fail. We all let's make sure that's out there. Like, I think I know, or I have a feeling what the Flames should do. Logan, I feel as if you feel the same, and I think there are fans that feel the same. It might not match up with what the team thinks.
No name on this one either. Guys, send in your names.
Yeah, put your name. Yeah, send your names. Send your addresses.
Would you rather have Sam Honzek, Colby Barlow, or Axel Sandin Pelikka?
Man, Colby Barlow had that goal-scoring talent coming out of junior. I liked Sandin Pelikka as a possibility for the Flames just to kind of bolster up the defense core. I mean, these are young players. It's kind of difficult to judge that, but I need to see more out of Sam Honzek. I don't know if he is a player who has that high-end upside. that this team desperately needs. He might be a solid middle of the lineup player, but again, very difficult to judge off of Junior, and we have to wait and see what happens with him when he's able to play more games at the pro level. But if I had to pick, like, maybe Colby Barlow, but that's because I thought he was a pretty intriguing player ahead of the draft. But I don't know, man. We have to wait and see. That's a tough question.
I'd probably stick with Hanzik right now, knowing the team needs center ice depth, and that there's a chance
they do.
He could be a fixture in the center ice. Barlow's a winger.
Are you convinced Hanzik will play center at the NHL level?
I'm not, but he was at least drafted in that spot, and I'm at least curious to see. And just because I think that's one of their big organizational needs. That's why I'd still lean there.
Okay.
This one's from Darren in Canyon Meadows. Watching Kuznetsov, the guy has offensive skills and potential. Are we going to see the Flames get rid of another skilled player because they can't get him to play defense? So then it says, see Brett Hull, St. Louis.
I think that
means Kuzmenko, first of all.
Okay. I think Andre Kuzmenko, Kuznetsov. I think Kuzmenko, good player, really skilled, talented player. Couldn't get an answer on how long he practices his skills, but you know what? I'll leave that alone.
I tried.
To put him in the same category as Brett Hull and Martin St. Louis, I think there's some PTSD there with that. Here's the thing. Dude's 28, 29, and if this team is going to retool and they need assets, he becomes a prime candidate to sell off for a high draft pick, especially if he keeps up the pace that he's been at this year with the Flames. It wouldn't be a situation where they're giving up on a guy like that. It's just to facilitate what they're trying to do in the grand scheme of things. I do understand where this fan is coming from, though. Like, Kuzmenko has a skill set that not many other guys, if any of these guys on this team, have. And he is, in terms of what he's been able to provide, it's night and day compared to everyone else. Like, I can understand why people would feel a bit conflicted.
Yeah, if Andre Kuzmenko was 2 years younger.
Oh, yeah.
I mean.
Oh, yeah.
It's a no-brainer to keep him around. But, yeah, just knowing that, I mean, that Vancouver trade has the potential to be a good one for Calgary right now. And if by next trade deadline, say, you're around 20 goals in your Andre Kuzmenko, and the Flames could flip you for another good asset to add into that haul, it just, I don't know how well it fits with where they're going right now. And as far as his age is concerned, I don't think by any means that they're going to give up on him. I mean, if this guy turns into a very consistent scoring threat, I wouldn't throw the idea of an extension right out the window either.
You guys want one more?
Sure. Yeah, give it one more.
All right. From Brody and Okotoks, what is Calgary's biggest hole they need to fill coming into free agency?
Center ice.
Yeah, I think it's there. They're entering next season with Michael Backlund, Nazem Kadri. I'm not listing
Sharon Go, which is a center.
I'm not convinced yet that Connor Zary is a long-term fix at center. I'm not convinced of that yet. I feel this is a player who seems comfortable playing on the wing. I'm sure if they put him in that position at center, he would take on that challenge. But I also feel if he was a center, I feel as if they would have had him in that position by now. I just think with young players who play that position, they need as many reps as possible in that spot. And I can understand that, you know, you open yourself up to so many other possibilities being versatile and playing on the wing, and that's been working out for Connor Zary. I don't know if he is, I mean, unless they start now or training camp or what have you, I guess. I need to see it with Connor Zary as a permanent long-term fix at the center position. Like, I think he should have started. I think if they really wanted him at center, they would have put him in that position already.
Yeah, and I think Sharon Govich has proved that he can play center. I think you'd rather him play the wing. So for me, that's their biggest need heading into the offseason.
I would go so far as to say the Flames in the draft should be trying to draft a center. I'm all for best player available, and I get that there are some good defensive prospects that are out there. And look, if they find themselves in a position where they can get one, you should probably do it. But if you could put yourself in a spot where you can get a really good center in this year's draft, do it. Absolutely. You need to bolster that part of your team.
Appreciate all the contributions at 960-960. That'll do it for another edition of the Thursday DMs. Thank you, Cam, for reading those out. And if you send us a text at 960-960, we appreciate you greatly. We will take a break, come back on the other side, kicking off hour two with our pal Adnan Virk. The Jays made history in Houston. It was terrible history, but it was history. We'll talk about it next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.